Welcome into the big show on this Tuesday. Hope you're all doing well. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Biden's new world order. He let this slip during a speech yesterday, and it wasn't just like a gaffe. It was a real moment of coherence as he referenced a book called The Fourth Turning and made reference to what his military leaders are talking about, that the new world order is coming. And the United States is going to be the leader in that world order.
And even though the United States and NATO continues to say it will not put a no-fly zone over Ukraine, it continues to arm Ukraine to do just that. Will there be repercussions from the West? Will it come in terms of cyber warfare? We're going to discuss that.
We're also going to talk a little bit about Disney, an interesting story we've been following. There's been a lot of drama behind the scenes about at the Mouse House in Florida, well, Orlando specifically, but is the woke mob winning, and will there be a walkout among Disney employees? We'll get to the bottom of this whole I guess we're calling it the grooming law because we can't say it, otherwise we'll get flagged for it. I don't know. Anyway, all of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now.
Welcome to your Tuesday, everyone. It is still a packed show full of global conflict. We will get to that. Hopefully you're subscribed to our newsletter so you have a preview of what we're about to talk about. It's free and it's over at morninginvest.com.
That's right. All right, let's get to our top story this morning, which is President Biden speaking yesterday at the Business Roundtable, talking about some private meetings that he's been having with his military leaders, which I don't know if he's supposed to be sharing this or not. Like, he's like, hey, I had some private meetings. They were like secure meetings, but I'm going to tell you what we were talking about. And in these meetings, he revealed that, hey, the United States is primed, is in a position now to take on the leadership role in this new world order. Let's play what he had to say. And then we're going to unpack this because there's a lot of things here to talk about. Let's listen.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway.
Okay, Alex Jones.
Holy smokes. Right. We can go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, and there's a lot of like discussion online about this, and you can say conspiracy theories, this conspiracy theories, that, but this stuff has been happening, right? This new world order plan has been tied to, we talked about the World Economic Forum, the discussion about the Great Reset, these leaders saying, hey, come together. Here's what we want to have happen. Literally laying it out at the Economic World Forum, which really sought to use the COVID-19 crisis, much the way that Carol Roth describes in her book, The War on Small Business, eliminating small business, consolidating power in these hands of Western leaders. And he's citing specifically the book, The Fourth Turning. He talks about that.
Well, why are conspiracy theorists so crazy about this? So specifically online, this is trending right now where liberals are saying, oh, conservatives are starting to make this into a conspiracy theory regarding new type of shadow government that has to do with the cabal or Freemasons, that it's just a few people, including sometimes Queen Elizabeth, sometimes not, who are running a shadow government in order to get other people to do their bidding. That's sort of what, you know, certain people have said, this is what's happening. We've been telling you, right? And liberals are like, knock it off. That's not exactly what he meant. So let's break down. So there's that sort of, let's put that in the corner, this Freemason cabal, Queen Elizabeth piece of it, and talk about the maybe a bit more tangible piece.
Okay. So what is the tangible piece? I mean, I think he specifically said it in his speech. He talked about the Fourth Turning, and the Fourth Turning specifically is written by William Strauss and Neil Howe. It was recommended to me a number of years ago by a friend of mine and said, it's really eye-opening. We are entering into this phase now where we have this sort of cataclysm, and it happens every 100 years or so, this Fourth Turning. This idea basically that, every 100 years, it's it it ends a cycle in human history.
Yes.
Because of natural human rhythms and human lifespan that we enter these cycles. And that's what that's what's happening right now. And that we are now in a position because of the sinking of the U.S. dollar, because of all of these countries now taking a position against the U.S. dollar, Saudi Arabia, China, Russia, other countries saying, hey, maybe the U.S. dollar isn't all it's cracked up to be. We're moving away from a U.S.-backed U.S. dollar and into a central bank structure.
Mm-hmm.
So central banks run the show. Central banks would be the thing that would bring everything together and rule the roost and control Western civilization. Think of it as like
as
imperial powers.
Sort of a campaign to spread Westernization far and wide,
mm-hmm.
with perpetual war and no end in sight, right? USA wave of stars and stripes that just continues to go, because now once we need like just a little push, you know, the United
USA,
States
globalist structure.
Think about
right,
this,
but
like
led
a lot of people,
by Western ideals.
Right.
Go ahead.
A lot of people aren't talking about the fact that Zelensky, everybody's standing up and like, oh, you know, Ukraine, rah, rah, rah. While Zelensky is basically creating a dictatorship right now, because he just silenced 11, like got rid of 11 parties from his opposition. And we're celebrating that. And like if the United States would love nothing more than to do that. If you look at like what they did in the last election by trying to get third parties off of the ballots, that's starting to happen here. So it's like we're starting to celebrate authoritarianism on the left, which is a very dangerous place to be.
And a consolidation of the banking. I mean, it all comes down to money, guys. I mean, it's money, right. And it's control. And it's, if we can move off the U.S. dollar, we can move towards a digital currency, and we can have a UN-backed, not a UN-backed, a EU, American-backed, Western imperial banking structure that really crushes small businesses, consolidates power. Think of it as NATO. I mean, for all intents and purposes, think of it as NATO. And I think that's what he's saying here. And I don't just like brush this aside. I mean, it is a really eye-opening moment to hear him say this. And I think
yes, but also he seemed a little out of it. So can we give him
it was pretty coherent. I actually think, yes, he's mostly out of it. But I think let's listen to him again. He specifically references.
Do you think this is that intentional? I'm just playing devil's advocate to say, are we parsing words here that maybe he didn't mean to say?
I mean, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, maybe you should apologize to Alex Jones, who people like vilified over the past number of years about this. I saw someone saying, hey, can we start the Alex Jones was right jar? Someone in our chat just said like a jar putting like coins in there. And this is kind of going viral. I know we had it in What's Trending, but like this has been going viral over the past few hours. Like, is Alex Jones owed an apology? I mean, Biden did just say they're working on a new world order.
But I'm confused by the way we're defining this, though. Are we defining this as Alex Jones, like, conspiracy theory? Or are we defining it in something that we all maybe can get on board with, which has nothing to do with specific world leaders, but like a rolling out of an indoctrination, right? Like, I think we should be careful here because...
I think what Carol Quigley said, this professor, because if you go deeper into this, right, you go deeper into like this World Economic Forum structure. I did over the past few weeks as this Great Reset has been floated repeatedly. You've been hearing about it, this idea of the Great Reset. And then we had Carol Roth on the show who kind of broke it down for us and said, this is happening right before our eyes. Like this is happening. This is unfolding. Carol Quigley is a professor. And she wrote in the book Tragedy and Hope, the powers of financial capitalism had a far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country.
Don't we already have that?
Not necessarily when you have a reliance on certain countries like the U.S. dollar.
Uh-huh.
So when you have each country and the economy then run by a central banking system. Okay.
Yes.
So not U.S. dollar, but a central banking system. This system was to be controlled by a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and at frequent conferences. Laid it out here in her book, Tragedy and Hope. And so this is basically a fundamental transforming of the global economy in favor of this new world order. I don't think he was incoherent here. I know we can make fun of Biden a lot for saying stuff off the wall, but he specifically cites meeting with military leaders in a secure meeting and references 3-4 generational turn, which is the fourth turning, and talks about how the United States and Western leaders will lead this. Let's listen again, because I don't think he was speaking out of turn.
Point, I believe, in the world economy, not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every 3-4 generations. As one of them, as the one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
And specifically Ukraine. He was citing Ukraine specifically as this fulcrum, this pivotal moment right now.
Because if you can westernize a country so far east, you can keep going.
You can keep going. And then it's only a push to overthrow. It's a push against China. It's a push against Russia. It's a consolidation of power in the hands. We've already done it in the Middle East. We're trying to do it in Latin America. It's this constant push. And so pay attention to what they're saying. I'm just saying all of these pieces have started to fall into place. You saw it during COVID. You saw the centralization of the banks. You saw the consolidation of the central banks.
Yes.
You saw the crushing of small businesses. You see it before our eyes, what's happening in Ukraine. You see what's happening with NATO and the expansion of NATO into Putin's backyard. Look what's happening with sanctions against China.
What is the historical precedence for this, where it's been successful before, like Roman times?
Well, I think if we think about in terms of the fourth turning, again, we come back to the book, I think about every 100 years, right? And so this is a move away now from industrialization. It's a move away from the smoke-filled factories of the 1880s, the 1890s, the Gilded Age, you know? Like we see this HBO show now, the Gilded Age. It's like a romanticism of that period, you know, 100 years ago. And so now you're seeing the same thing unfolding. And there's about a 20-year position of transition in that happens during this phase. I'm not saying this is right. I'm just saying there's 500 years of history that William Strauss and Neil Howe highlight in the book. 500 years, and it's been consistent. They do it with data, and they show how these patterns continue to emerge among societies after that 100-year period. So,
okay,
I would love to hear people's thoughts on this. How many of you have read the book, The Fourth Turning? We'll link it up in the chat below. Maybe we can have a discussion about it in a few weeks after everyone's had a chance to read it. But, you know, the president of the United States says something like this and references this book, talks about it with his military leaders, we should all pay attention. And it's happening before our eyes, because now we have this no-fly zone issue, which is another big piece of this puzzle, right?
Right. So this morning, the Wall Street Journal and other media reporting that the United States has been sending defense equipment to Ukraine that it previously received from the USSR or Russia, depending on the year, is unclear. They're saying that this is decades old equipment, but they also say that it's very effective still. So it doesn't have its 100,000 miles on it. It's still okay. And they say that Ukraine's military is familiar with these types of weapons, and they will continue to train to use them. So some date these missile defense systems as old as 1994, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. So then where have we been keeping these? And we've been keeping up to date with how to use them, and we can arm the other side to use them. So if you think it feels sneaky that we have these weapons, it absolutely is. In fact, if you read the Wall Street Journal this morning, they talk about how it was actually the media that let us know that we were buying these pieces of equipment. It was not the United States government. They were sort of caught red-handed.
Right.
Pun intended.
And by the way, good job on the Wall Street Journal for actually covering this story and breaking this. This was an exclusive story that the Wall Street Journal broke the news
on. But also it's equally as sneaky to arm and train a nation for a fly zone, no fly zone, that you say you do not support, right? So again, we're talking about how would Russia perceive our actions as not a direct conflict threat and retaliate. Well, one could argue that we have done many things already to support Ukraine, And have already chosen sides. Again, history tells you that when a leader is trying to be careful not to get involved in a conflict, they will split hairs to do that, right? And the United States doesn't seem to care to do that right now. We seem to be okay to sort of wave the Ukrainian flag and say we support them, we're against Russia, oh, but we won't actually get involved in conflict. But here's some money, here's some weapons, here's some training, here's some private contractors, right? So how can we be sure that, you know, this battle is not coming to our shores? We really can't at this point.
No, and this is why you want to have it over there, right? I mean, this is the whole point. This is the whole, you know, this is, just listen to members of Congress talk about this, right? This is, we have all of the Soviet era equipment. And by the way, who knows where the hell we've had it? To your point, it's probably in one of our 900 military bases, you know, around the world that we have it stored. We have it in some underground base that we can quickly deploy it at a moment's notice and get it to these people is pretty darn remarkable.
I know. I thought there was a supply chain issue, but apparently not if it's weaponry.
No, you can get it. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can get it there very, very quickly. But again, this is what they want. They want to be able to fight this war. They want to be able to have Ukraine fighting this war. And we want to be able to set up an artificial, basically a no-fly zone without calling it a no-fly zone. That's basically what we're doing right now. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. We can have our cake and eat it too by not calling it that. We can have our war without calling it a war.
Right. And especially these are not loans, right? These are just take the weaponry and use it as you'd like. Again, they also say Ukraine's military is very familiar with how to use these. We're okay. They've read the manual. But supposedly Russians would be too if it was made on their shores. So, you know, the Russian military is very sophisticated, despite what the media would have you think. So it doesn't seem, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a military strategist. It just seems like there's a lot of holes in this, right? You can poke a lot of holes in it.
Well, we've been continuing. All of these NATO countries have been continuing to send military equipment to this region. I mean, pouring it into it. Do you remember the other day when, of course, we had President Biden saying, right, we played the clip for you where he talked about sending military equipment into that region is World War III. He said, make no mistake about it, that is World War III.
But then and he said, that's exactly what they're doing.
He said, don't kid a kidder.
Right.
I mean, am I the only one who remembers that? Do you guys remember that in the chat?
I already had forgotten about it, but you just reminded me and he did indeed.
Yeah, did anyone remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
So again, this is not the first time, and I don't know what's changed in a few weeks. I don't know what's changed in a few weeks since the president said that. Like, hey, we're going to run missions off the coast of Poland. We're going to continue to run these sortie missions, 80 to 90 per day right now. We're running NATO missions. We're going to continue to pour javelins, Stinger missiles. By the way, this morning, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, I watched a whole video that the Wall Street Journal put together on all of these javelin missiles and this the different weapons you wear on your shoulder, the Stinger missiles, everything else that they can hit, and it's remarkable. I mean, the level of access that the media is getting to watch the Ukrainian troops look at all of the different weapons that we're sending them and studying how they're operating, and they just showed pallet after pallet after pallet being unloaded from aircraft coming from the United States, from Ukraine, everywhere. Pouring in, from the UK and everywhere, just pouring into this region.
That just seems so unsafe. I don't know if you recall, several years ago, there was a piece on the Israeli military on 60 Minutes, and they said, this is an exclusive. The Israeli military does not let press in. They're only going to show us a few things. And most of it, they could not even show because of trade secrets. And so why is all of this sort of like muscle flexing happening on behalf of Western powers at this point? What are we supposed to take away from that when really I think most military strategists would say we don't need these things on television, right?
No, I mean, but look, this is, but you have, you know, members of Congress, you had Chuck Schumer holding up pictures of the aircraft and he's like, these are the ones we're sending them.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I want to send them.
At the time, remember this piece, the Israeli army would only show 60 Minutes that they can go from like zero to the air in like 3 seconds. Like there's always someone ready to suit up and go up. Jeez. It was crazy. Like that, you know, that what really the military can do is way more formidable than just what they're showing off to the press.
Of course.
So we have to think, what are they trying to show us here? And aren't they worried that also the enemy has the internet
right, to be able to pay attention. I don't know. I'm not really worried about the enemy at the moment watching this because they already have access to this, you know.
All they're trying to do is get the people's they're manufacturing war. They're getting the people's consent mm-hmm. by showing us and making it look like they're being transparent or whatever. But again, I come back to anybody who stands with Ukraine, you got those flags on your profiles, you got all this stuff. You are now supporting a dictator. And we are now supporting a dictator, basically, because he's got rid of all the opposition that could get him out as president. So, you know, like that to me.
But don't worry, David, because now Vladimir Zelensky is now calling on the Pope. He wants the Pope to come in and mediate this whole thing. That's what he wants. Get the Pope involved in all of this.
Are they going to send like the Vatican Guard?
Right. No, they're just going to send
they're going to send a basket full of white doves.
Right. Well, I just think about, go back to Congress, right? Adam Schiff on the floor of Congress. This soundbite a few weeks ago just resonates with me because he just says the quiet part out loud. Here's Adam Schiff about why we're doing what we're doing with sending equipment over there.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
That's all you need. Like, it's not any more difficult than that to understand. It's not, that's it. Right there in a two-sentence soundbite.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
Right. That's exactly right. So why do you think we have bioweapons labs set up in those countries? Why do you think that we've set up different chemical labs in those areas, right? I mean, why? So we don't have to have them here. We don't have to, but, you know, the revealing nature about the Georgia, what we covered in the newsletter about Georgia and the country of Georgia and the weapons labs that have now been come to light since 2018. We'll maybe talk more about it later this week. But again, American funding of chemical research into anthrax and other chemical agents in these other countries so that they don't, and they do them at like 2 and 3 in the morning. So people, residents, say they smell these chemicals at like 2 and 3 in the morning.
And I just want to go back to this point. Ukraine is Orthodox Christian, right? Poland is Catholic, but I do not think that Zelensky, also he's Jewish, but for the most part, their founding religion was Orthodoxy, was not Catholicism. So what is he doing, calling on the Pope?
I don't know. Maybe thinks that would tamp down on what Russia is doing. I don't know exactly.
Why does every sentence got to be about fighting Russia? Like, we've always got to fight Russia. But like after World War II, when the Russians helped liberate the Jews, like they were part of that, and lost 27 million people during that war. But then right when the war is over, what do? We start NATO and say, you know what? We still don't trust you. We know you helped liberate. We know you helped pretty much end World War II, but we still don't trust you. So we're going to, you know, build these bases and expand this NATO into your backyard.
Well, I want to just clarify, people who would change their profiles to the Ukrainian flag at this point, I think a lot of them are not necessarily supporting Zelensky or the Ukrainian government, which has been notorious for being corrupt. But I think that many of their intention is to support people who are now having to escape their home due to conflict they did not start.
But how come those same people never put an Afghanistan flag, a Yemen flag?
Well, you there's know what not I mean? Any like, one person we contend with right now. But we can contend with the popularity of it. And you're right. Those same people should have had all along for 6 years now a Yemeni flag, at least since last year, Ethiopia. For at least 5 or 6 years now, Syria, more than that, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
No, Syria is almost going on 20 years. But is it any
different? Reminder, the world's deadliest war isn't in Ukraine, but it's in Ethiopia.
You know, and is it any different if you have a friend that you support and you're driving your friend around and then they rob a bank? You're still an accomplice. You're still part of it, even though you were supporting them for a good reason. Because the thing is, like, we are selling this as we're helping the Ukrainian people because we care, when we're not. We're propping up a dictator at this point. And so, yeah, by proxy, you are supporting a dictator, even if you have good intentions.
Well, let's leave room for people's intentions to care about at least people who are victimized. And I want to be careful about that.
Well, I agree with that, but that's like, educate yourself then a little bit if you're going to do that. Like, know what you're doing, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, we have more news to get to. I want to talk about how these sanctions are really crushing the West right now. We think that they're hurting Russia. Well, take a look around. We're going to show you the effects of what your store shelves look like right now because of the sanctions on Russia, and how we keep hearing from the Biden administration that it's crushing Putin. Does it look like it is? Well, we'll get to the heart of that. But first, we want to tell you about our show sponsor. We're going to tell you about our friends over at Podium. If you own a business, you know there aren't enough hours in a day to waste playing phone tag. List of customers you need to reach doesn't get any shorter, especially when business is good. That's why local businesses everywhere turn to Podium. Podium makes every interaction as easy as sending a text, so everything that makes your business great can get done faster. Podium isn't just a better way to communicate, it's a better way to do everything. Gathering reviews, collecting payments, and even marketing to your customers. Podium makes it all easy, just as easy as pressing send. You won't just free up more time, you'll actually grow your business and get more done. It's a really great service. With Podium, you'll close deals and with customers before the competition even has a chance to call them back. So join more than 100,000 businesses that already use Podium to streamline their customer interactions. Get started for free at podium.com/invest or sign up for a paid Podium account and get a free credit card reader. Restrictions apply. That's podium.com/invest. Really great service. So check them out. podium.com/invest. Our thanks to them for supporting the show. Okay, everyone. So let's tell you, as we continue to look at what's happening in Ukraine right now, we've been hearing over and over about the Russian sanctions and how this is really going to crush the Russian economy. It's going to crush Vladimir Putin, right? You're paying more for gasoline because it's Putin's price spike. So that's why you're doing it, to support this. Well, now we have some accounting this morning. RT has done a good job of actually putting together and highlighting the different areas that people are paying right now because of these sanctions across the West. This isn't just hitting, hitting Russia. It's hitting the West in a big, big way. Price hikes, empty shelves, car shortages, all of these sanctions against Russia are really crushing the West.
Especially in those areas of the world, supplies for wheat, sunflower, rapeseed, flaxseed, soy.
What's rapeseed? I've never heard
rapeseed,
of rapeseed.
It can flower, and you can use the seeds for cooking oil. Hmm. Flaxseed as well. Soy is used for cooking oil. In fact, I saw an article recently that said that your chips, or if you're a Brit, your crisps, will be more expensive because a lot of these cooking oils are produced in this area of the world. And so it will be more expensive than to fry up your chips and get them into your bag. So that is reason enough to panic.
Well, that's fine, though, because that's the price for American values. You know, we have to.
Well, yes, but that is very much a part of the Western palate, and so that will make life a little bit more expensive for other people. Also, the fact that a lot of these crops are used to feed animals, fertilizers are no longer available, so growing food will become expensive, and that will then be passed down to you. It's not just Russians who will be hurt from this. In fact, recently, Vladimir Zelensky had put a ban on exports so that whatever Ukraine was growing, it was keeping inside of its borders in order to prevent a collapse just of how that country needed to live at this point. I mean, what they're going to do with a surplus of flaxseed oil, I don't know. That is made to be exported. But you see a lot of these now Iberian countries, Greece, Spain and Portugal, the Iberian countries, as well as Greece and Turkey and Italy are all meeting now, and they're wondering what is going to happen if we're not going to be able to get this energy that we're used to in terms of combustible fossil fuels. And gas, what are we going to do if we can't get this? And it might send our economies now into a crisis or a depression.
Yeah, and governments are now saying, hey, don't go out and do panic buying, you know, like be careful about panic buying. So that just buy your normal household quantities, you know, forget like what we saw during the pandemic, sort of certain products. Governments are saying right now that these supply shortages are just hoaxes. So even the West and Boris Johnson, Spanish leaders, French leaders saying this is just a hoax. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. But you're seeing empty shelves at grocery stores. You're seeing high energy costs across Spain. Their few trucking companies in Spain right now stopped operating because of high costs, and that which will obviously lead to job losses. So job losses, they can't ship things in Spain. Italy, a liter of gasoline and diesel now costs more than two euros due to these sanctions in Russia.
Yeah.
France has also had soaring fueling prices. So again, farmers are saying, you're screwing us here in Europe. You're screwing us right now. In Greek farmers are saying, you're hurting us.
Well, especially because so many animals now that are produced for slaughter are grain fed now. And if grain comes from these eastern countries because it's a hardier crop, right? And animals throughout Europe are used to being fed on them. It's not good for them. The animals actually don't want to eat that. That's why we have so much methane gas, is because the animals can't digest that properly. But that's what we're used to now. It's going to put all of that into a screeching halt. And so, yes, food prices will get much, much higher, specifically your meat, your vegetables, and I'm sorry to say, your chips.
My yeah. Anna Marie in chat just made me literally laugh out loud. And she says, I wonder how many preservatives are in Pelosi.
That's funny. You know, I was reading this book about wilding, and that talked about how after World War II, there was this scarcity mindset because people were so scared of all the rations they had to do during the war that they thought, let's never do this again. Now it's every citizen's duty, your sort of civic duty, to produce crops for your government. And the government started subsidizing various things. And it specifically was subsidizing grain to feed to the animals, because the idea was more, 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 so we never have these rations again. But that sort of more, more, more attitude has put us in danger, because we're now feeding animals things that they shouldn't be eating. And now we cannot sustain that because it requires global participation, which we just can't do, right?
Mm. That's, yeah. It's awful, but this is the state of our economy. This is the state of our food supply in the world. And again, these people are being crushed by it. No one's even talking about Africa. I mean, think about the wheat exports that go to Africa and the people there that rely on wheat in those countries. And they're, you know, already in a precarious position with food. And now the lack of wheat supplies going to African countries is just soul crushing to those populations.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Well, President Biden and the White House have issued a warning this morning. It's about cyber attacks. They say, and the president yesterday speaking about this very issue, saying that cyber attacks are coming. Get ready. If you are worried about what Vladimir Putin is going to be doing to the Ukrainian people, maybe you should also start paying attention to your businesses, because Russian cyber attacks, he says, are coming against the United States and Western allies very, very soon.
That's right. But he says we are ready for cyber warfare. We think that this is Russia's next move, as if they haven't already been doing this. And the United States does it in kind, make no mistake. But he's saying it's really not our problem, you guys. They're going to do it. So you need to get your IT group in order, pull them out and say, hey, is all of our software secure? Train your businesses in order to make sure that your employees don't click on suspicious links. And, you know, that it's coming. But he specifically said it's your responsibility, not ours. Like, we've warned you, they're going to do it, which is total crap, because the government has been actively buying bugs into software for years. They also participate in cyber warfare. And so if you're already in this war, right, then absolutely it is the government's. So, you know, there's research out there that ridiculous. The government buys what they call a zero day, which is the hackers go around hacking everything they can find. And then they'll find, say, a vulnerability in Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, or an app on the Apple App Store, or whatever it is, right, an operating system. And they'll put it on the open market, and governments will buy it so that they have the ability to hack into whatever they want from you. It's not just the NSA, like Edward Snowden told us. Multiple government agencies buy the same bugs, but they don't speak to each other. So they take your tax dollars, they buy into the vulnerabilities, they keep them to spy on you, they continue then to weaken security around the world, but it's it's not their problem if you get hacked.
No, as Nicole Perlroth writes in her great book, This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, she highlights this, and she specifically goes into detail about Stuxnet, of course, which was the United States going on the offensive against Iran. And as she points out in the book, she says, you know, this was something that George W. Bush put in place, and then he turned the keys over to President Obama. He wanted to meet with President Obama at the White House, and there were two things that he wanted him to continue. Most importantly was the cyber warfare against Iran and putting this virus inside of the centrifuges in their nuclear program so that these centrifuges would spin and then basically fall off their axis and break. So they were constantly having to replace these centrifuges. That's because we had an exploit. We had a zero-day exploit that went right into the hardware specifically and did that. Well, then it got out. Then they never actually planned that what happens if this someone plugs like a USB drive into one of these computers in the centrifuge area, guess what? Then it gets out. And then it starts infecting companies all over the world. Tens of thousands of computers all over the world, thanks to the United States, going into Iran. So companies that had nothing to do with Iran, American citizens that had nothing to do with Iran, got destroyed as a result of Stuxnet because of what the United States has done. So this idea that the United States, we don't have any involvement in this. We don't have no,
and they released this sort of 10-point, you know, talking points, like just make sure your passwords are good and you're using VPNs, right? When they know very well that the most secure hackers and the most aggressive governments can get past that in a second. They've been buying ways to do it. In fact, in the same book, she says that in the 1990s, the Pentagon's military budget was chipped by a third, with cyber being the one exception. She says Congress continues to approve vague cybersecurity budgets without much grasp of how dollars funneled into offense or defense or what cyber conflict necessarily entails, right? So your tax dollars are being funneled into cyber warfare in redundant ways, buying the same vulnerabilities in different departments. They continue to do it and they keep it. And the United States, I mean, when we're really talking about cyber military force, Russia and the United States are kind of equals, right? They can do the exact same thing to one another. And if that happens, you saw in 2007 or 2017, when almost the entire country of Ukraine was shut down by Russia. Nobody really remembers this, but all they had to do was flip a switch. Every single computer in Ukraine went down. Every gas pump, every heater went down, right? They absolutely can do that. And most experts say that that was practice. The United States could do it too. And so it's kind of hypocritical for them to say, oh, but just be careful. But in fact, the State Department did say, to be clear, there's no intelligence that there will be a cyber attack on critical infrastructure, meaning we think your heating will be okay.
But do you remember what happened on the East Coast during, I don't remember what year it was, like 2004, 2005 on the East Coast of the United States with a great blackout. New York City went black. That's where, you know, there's the musical In the Heights that's based on that when everything went dark in Harlem and all of that. And it was blamed. That whole thing smelled off to me. Mm-hmm. Like it was just the power plant. Faulty infrastructure. Is it related to Niagara Falls up into Canada? We try to blame Canada for it. Remember, like it was like, let's blame Canada.
Yeah.
Really? Like something just didn't smell right about that. And I love that the White House comes out with this fact sheet. And here's how you can protect yourself against cyber attacks. If you just kind of go through a couple of the things, right? We urge companies to execute the following steps with urgency. Have multi-factor authentication in your systems.
Again, she points out in the book, they can get through that like pretty easily.
You mean to tell me like Putin, like if they're that'll stop them, right?
Right.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, again, they're buying these zero-day exploits on the black market. They have access to it. A two-factor authentication system isn't going to stop my grandmother from breaking.
You know what?
It's ridiculous.
I can't wait to see when they come out with this for the Space Force, like how to protect yourself from aliens.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, they can't hack your password. I was saying to Clayton last night, after reading this book, I went to on my app, like set our home alarm system. And I was like, this feels like an exercise in futility because I know that the right cyber thug could just disarm my alarm and get in if they wanted to. It's more like you know, the junkie off the street that's going to be deterred by the alarm, not really a cyber criminal. But at the same, she gives this anecdote in the book, which is so shocking. She goes and speaks to Zero Day Charlie, who is the guy who has hacked everything from the iPhone to a Jeep Cherokee, right? Meaning he hacks into it while someone's driving and can remotely drive it. This is possible. So if you're the kind of person who's like, I don't care who reads my emails. I don't either, but I do care that my phone and my car remains under my control while I'm driving my children, right? So she goes to meet with him and she says, well, because of your work with the Jeep, I asked the rental car company not to give me a Jeep. And he says, oh, what hotel are you staying at? And she tells him, and he goes, I can hack that elevator too. And so she starts taking the stairs. So you think about how much of your life is dependent on operating systems that are not secure. So this is more scary than you would think.
There's Charlie Miller. He's Zero Day Charlie. I mean, he says, you know, yeah, you can't stop this stuff. Are you kidding me? Like in 2 seconds, we could, you know, hack your car.
Yes.
Take control of everything. And you think that, and this is like 5-year-old video, by the way. I mean, I did an interview with these guys. And literally drove me off into a ditch in a car. Like, they can do this with a laptop. They can take control of these computer systems. And just, I love that the White House gives you this, you know, this plan that you're going to, you know, just do some two-factor authentication and you'll be good to go.
But what is he saying that, like, what are we supposed to be afraid of? And like, they might just do it, right? If they really want to, if they've practiced on Ukraine.
This is part of the narrative. This is continuing this Western narrative. You need to be scared of Putin. You need to be scared of Putin. They're coming for you. They're coming for you next. Like, this
but they
is
can.
Support the move.
They can shut down your bank accounts. Absolutely. In the blink of an eye. Anything that you do that you think is secure is not. They can shut down your phone. They can get into your car.
You know what they can also do? They can also track every text message you send. They can track all of your banking. They can listen into all of your phone calls. Oh, wait a second. That's the NSA that did that we now know has done.
They do that. Right. So, everybody. So
I'm sorry. Who am I worried about here? Like, am I worried about Russia or the NSA is already doing that? They're already tracking everything you do. I mean, who am I concerned about here?
Well, and we're also putting all these devices like Alexa and Siri and all that in our houses. Like, we're just asking to be listened to, spied on.
Yeah.
Yes. That's not as secure as you think.
Yeah. No. We got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about this medical debt and Disney walkout in just a moment. But first,
Before you get into the ad sponsor, I just want to say, I wanted to the people who are running that event, that business event that Biden was speaking at, I have a camera with optical image stabilization on it if you need one, because that camera work was horrible. That whole, like, it's just jittering the whole time, especially on the Biden speech. Business round table, reach out. I got a camera for you. Look at that.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. What are they doing?
I don't know. My guess was that it's on a platform that a bunch of people are walking on.
So, or it's back. You know, someone's got like a jittery leg, had too much coffee, and they just keep hitting it, you know, like with their.
Yeah. Like what
right.
in the world?
David's company is available for consultation. Yeah.
When I see stuff like that, I like lose my mind.
no jittery leg. Yeah. It's like. Okay.
All right, we're going to tell you about a new show sponsor that we have here, which is AARP. Now, AARP is not just for people who are aging, but for those of you who have aging on the brain, who are thinking about how it feels to be young at heart, but still pushing 50. You know, as we get older, we're more concerned about affordable healthcare. Of course, that is a story coming up soon. Lower prescription costs and protecting Social Security and Medicare. AARP advocates for you and offers financial and job resources, fraud protection help, and information on joining local volunteer groups, and much, much more, because AARP knows that you have a lot of good years ahead. Now, of course, you think of AARP as like, oh, it's just for old people. It's definitely not for me. But absolutely, that's not the case. In fact, I often pick up the magazine and come up with a lot of different tips. You know, they have a lot of benefits socially, such as caregiver support. There's also job board and resume advisor, driver safety tips, financial planning, and retirement and Social Security resources. In fact, you know, AARP knows that the government may not necessarily be helping you get low-cost prescription drugs, no matter what Bernie Sanders says. In fact, they're doing just the opposite. So AARP helps you with tips for how you can get the best prices on prescription drugs when you need them, including sort of ways you wouldn't think about. It's a great place for a social resource and a great place to learn as well. It is the largest advocacy group for people over 50, and it gives you instant access to news and community events. So try the benefits for yourself. Go to aarp.org/morninginvest, and you can join for just $12 for the first year with automatic renewal. You'll get a second membership for free, plus the AARP magazine as a free gift. Again, I think that the magazine's very well done. My mother was very excited recently to make me read the cover story on Jamie Lee Curtis, and I did like it very much, and I continued to read it. So that's aarp.org/morninginvest. Again, go to aarp.org/morninginvest and see how membership can benefit you.
All right. All right, let's talk about medical debt right now. No doubt you know someone, maybe yourself. Let us know in the chat here how many of you have been dealing with high medical bills. Maybe you haven't even wanted to go and seek additional help because you don't want to have to pay these exorbitant medical bills. COVID obviously saddled a lot of people with an enormous amount of debt, unfortunately. During COVID, insurance companies paid up a certain part, but then not enough beyond that. So it left people bankrupt. Well, now Americans, thankfully, will no longer have to see medical debt on their credit reports. So this is okay. I mean, this is one step in the right direction, but it's certainly not wiping away medical debt as it relates to the pandemic or anything else. This is a move that would remove more than $88 billion in debt from your consumer records. I'm curious how many people watching right now, let us know in the chat, have medical debt that's affecting their overall credit score. Let us know in the chat. And have you also checked recently to see if it's still there? Because Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, the three major credit reporting agencies, have now all agreed to remove 70% of the medical debt from their consumer scores, which I don't get. Like, why did you guys stop at 70?
Well, because they're defining this as unexpected medical debt. So let's say you have long since suffered from a pre-existing condition like cancer or MS or something like that, and your bills continue to rack up. That's not necessarily unexpected. That's just American healthcare is super expensive. Americans don't really get any help with surging prices. The government refuses to fix that, but it's still your fault. That continues to remain on your credit. But let's say you had a sudden injury, you had a car accident, and you needed an ambulance ride, which is so, so expensive. These types of sudden medical debt that you could not have budgeted for will no longer go on your credit score. That doesn't mean you don't have to pay them. You still will be on the hook for paying them, and the creditors will continue to chase you, but it will not negatively affect your credit score.
So many people in our chat, Irish over on Twitch says, I have medical debt that was messing up my credit. So many people says, Elizabeth says, my son does. Betty says, I am fighting cancer. I have very high medical bills. So sorry to hear that, Betty.
I don't think that this would count, again, because if she's been fighting cancer, that's not an unexpected med. I mean, of course, nobody expects to get cancer, but if it's something that's been mounting, then I don't think the credit. I mean, this is not necessarily a generous move. I think it's interesting, though, that they're going to say, we realize that American health insurance and health providers surge prices in order to basically screw consumers. We understand that, like, if you get, say you get hit by a car and you need an ambulance, that's a 3 to 4 figure bill, right? Sometimes minimum $3,000. And you did not obviously budget to take an ambulance ride that you needed. And so these are the types of things. Like, so instead of like lobbying Congress to make it so that you didn't, that nobody could surge prices to gouge consumers. No, they're just going to take it off your credit score.
Edward Smith in our chat says, I check my medical bills twice a month. Like, that's America. Like, it's so sad that we have to do that, you know?
Well, and they they should not have, like, you should not be
have to check his medical bills twice a month. Like, he
you shouldn't be blocked from participating in the economy because you got it just happened to have cancer or MS or something that you can't even, that's beyond your control. And all of a sudden you can't participate in the economy. That's BS.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely BS. I mean, we can get into the hypocrisy of the United States system and the entire structure that, you know, they make absolute bank, the big pharmaceutical companies making billions of dollars, of course, on the backs of people. And then, of course, in other countries that you go to that have a medical system in place that you're not paying that. I mean, like our daughter, you know, in Europe just recently had a pneumonia and had to take an ambulance ride, had to spend, what, 4 days in the hospital. And the bill was, what, $50?
Well, it was only the bill for €50 was because I took her to a private hospital for emergency. And then they sent her to a public hospital where they thought the doctors were the best. And they sent her in an ambulance because she had oxygen problems. And they said, you are going to have to pay for this ambulance. It's €140. And I just wanted to laugh. If I wasn't so stressed about my daughter being sick, I would have laughed right in her face because there are laws against price gouging for that service, right? So that company could not charge me $3,000, $5,000 for an ambulance ride. Why is that allowed in the United States? Sure, it's nice that will be taken off your credit score now, but you still will be on the hook to pay it. You still will get that bill. Right. Right. Well, and it is still allowed to charge that much. This is what I'm sort of pointing out here. Go ahead, David.
Has anybody been tracking the inflation prices on the medical world? Like what we're getting charged for things now during this time of inflation? Like, has that all gone up too? Do we know?
We know that medical bills have hit a record. So, I mean, just add up, you know, medical costs during the pandemic and over the past 3 months. I saw an article about a month ago, medical costs that are an all-time high. During a pandemic.
I mean, so I feel like these companies are probably more celebrating than anything because the cost of the goods hasn't gone up, you know, for them for that kind of stuff yet that we know of, but they're going to start charging people because they're like, ooh, they're saying the interest rates are high. Let's spike these prices.
Members of Congress who were campaigning on this issue, Kyrsten Sinema specifically, right, of Arizona, Democrat by name, was campaigning on this idea talking about going after prescription drug prices. Of course, then when that lobby funnels hundreds of thousands of dollars to her campaign, then when she has the opportunity to vote on that and make sure that we can fight for high pharmaceutical costs, she votes against it. She says she's not going to make that a part of her plan. That was something she wasn't going to support. Why? Because she gets money from the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that should be illegal in the United States, and it's not. And this is why we have these larger problems. But to Natalie's point, you're going to still pay these damn medical bills. You're going to still be on the hook for them. And as many people said here, they've tried to like file bankruptcy. And from what I understand, the number of medical bankruptcies right now is through the roof. It's at an all-time high, according to data released like 3 weeks ago. So medical bankruptcy in the United States right now. Sure, you can't do that for your student loan.
Yeah.
You can still do it for medical bills.
Doug S. in the chat points out that €140, what I paid for an ambulance, is what you'd pay for an aspirin here in the U.S. And in fact, there's truth to that. When I had my first child and asked for a Tylenol, it was billed at $300 for just two little Tylenols that my medical insurance covered it, but that's what they billed it. That money did take place, and I paid my 10% copayment. It's crazy.
Well, and those bags of saline that almost everybody gets when you're in a hospital to keep you hydrated is like, I think it's $20 to $40 in the UK, and it's $700 here.
Wow.
That's a good saline.
Wow.
There was NPR did a kind of a long-running series a couple years back on the rising medical costs, and one of the stories they highlighted was this woman that had she like went through and like itemized her medical bill, and she saw this like, she had like several screws, like little tiny, itty bitty tiny titanium screws put in her leg when she broke it. And they charged her like something like $3,500 per screw. That was just for the screws themselves.
Wow.
So she did some digging and found out that the purchase price from the manufacturer was like $2.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
Did you know that the royal baby, like Kate Middleton's first child that is heir to the throne, the medical bill, and it's, you know, socialized medicine in Britain, their medical bill was like £1,300, which is like, you know, $1,500 for the royal treatment to have a baby, right?
Wow.
Whereas me, who had just a non-royal baby, my medical bills were in the thousands. It's crazy.
I would say Miles is a royal baby.
He's a royal baby.
I was going to say, Miles, if you're listening, she didn't mean that.
Right. He's a royal baby.
But back to my question. I had a real quick question. Can you file bankruptcy on medical debt?
Yes, I believe you can.
Yeah.
Because okay, I know you can't on student loan debt, but.
Yeah, no, you can still do it on medical debt.
Okay.
But, you know, we just had someone in the chat just said they had to file bankruptcy because of medical debt. MCATs, yeah, I filed Chapter 7 12 years ago. My credit is still in the 600s. That's crazy.
Hmm.
That's crazy. Sweet Vintage says I was charged $900 for an ambulance ride. Unbelievable.
Well, that's better.
That's better than, I guess,
but it depends. Are you right across the street from the hospital? Like, how far were you?
Right. You mentioned someone you knew, a friend of yours, had to take a helicopter flight, right? It was like $15,000.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. Oh, my gracious.
Well, let's talk about this story. Let's talk about Disney this morning. So you might have heard quite a bit about this Don't Say Gay controversy, this grooming bill in Florida, which is expected to be signed into law at any moment by the Florida legislature, by Governor DeSantis down there. A whole bunch of companies have been catering to the Twitter mob and to the woke media to come out and give Ron DeSantis a phone call. In fact, Tim Cook of Apple gave him a phone call. They spoke for an hour. Other CEOs are being pressured to call Governor DeSantis and bite his head off about this controversy in Florida. And Disney is caught up in the middle of this, and there's a whole lot of drama unfolding right now.
Well, you would think, right? Because the mainstream media has been running all sorts of news about how Disney now is facing a walkout. But when you really read into the story to see who is pressuring Disney to do something other than what it's currently doing in order to avoid the walkout, what is it they want Disney to do? Disney employees are saying that they are speaking on behalf of the LGBTQ community and say that this will cost Disney a lot in running its parks because we all want to walk out if they don't put more pressure on Governor Ron DeSantis to not sign this bill, or if they don't say that they will pull political funding around, which they already have. Disney has already pulled funding for certain politicians, especially last year. They pulled funding to politicians that opposed the election. But they're saying that's not enough. Yeah.
Can you explain what the bill is? Like, what is it?
Well, specifically, it bars instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. So it is not necessarily anti-gay, but you can't. There are pieces of it that are problematic. I don't want to get too far.
But basically, at the heart of it is like, do you want a first grader or a kindergartner to have their teacher going through gender identity discussions and training and understanding?
Right.
I mean, I don't want that with my, you know, 10-year-old yet.
Like, I don't think that sexualization should be a part of curriculum that young. But I also don't think that there should be a ban on, for instance, many families in our, you know, that have kids that go to school with our kids are same-sex couples. And it's problematic that you might be able to point out that so-and-so has two daddies, so-and-so has two mommies. Why is that, right? And so this bill takes it one step further that if you talk about so-and-so's two mommies, you can get sued. I agree. Absolutely. There should not be sexualization of any curriculum for kids under third grade. But it's problematic because of the things that then you can get in trouble for saying.
So let's go back to the woke piece of this, which is the media, like USA Today, which is we've highlighted here is total garbage before. So USA Today comes out, you know, there are articles like we want action, Disney employees walking out, when no one really can pinpoint like exactly how many Disney employees. According to some reports, it might be 7 of them have walked out. And as Natalie pointed out earlier, most of them are unionized. They can't walk out. They don't want to walk out. So who's really doing this walkout?
Well, the Associated Press spoke to an anonymous employee saying that really it's most of us are Disney workers in production, marketing, IT, and other desk jobs, not specifically the hourly employees or the union employees. So Cinderella and Mickey Mouse are part of performers' unions. They cannot do this, no matter what their political stance is, which raise your hand here if you want to know what Cinderella's political stance is. I, for one, do not. So the worker spoke on condition of anonymity to the Associated Press out of fear of being targeted online. And because this is where I just like want to laugh out loud, because organizers don't want a single organizer taking the spotlight. Part of the goal of the walkout, the employee says, is for the privileged to be able to protest for those who can't. Now, this is a New York employee. Say no more, right?
Right.
So this New York employee says, we're so privileged. We have desk jobs and medical benefits, and we're not part of the union. So we will speak up on behalf of Rapunzel, who cannot, right? And so my question is, who asked you to do that? First of all, what is it exactly that you want? You want something with Ron DeSantis? You go to him, not through your employer.
Like you want Disney? Right? Again, this comes back to, again, Vivek Ramaswamy, his book, Woke Incorporated. He's like, why do we want these corporations to take on woke politics? He's like, so there's a controversy right now because they had this emergency town hall meeting yesterday over the new CEO. So the new CEO who stepped in, his name is Bob Chapek. He stepped in for Bob Iger. And I think it's Wall Street. I think it's Wall Street that wants him out of there. I think that they're concerned about Disney's direction, and they want Bob Iger to come out of retirement for the third time. Then there's been CNBC, of course, a few weeks ago had a story about how there's this extremely awkward Bob Chapek and Bob Iger had a falling out. They rarely talk, and that they spoke to Bob Iger, and Bob Iger said, no, I'm not going to leave him out to hang him out to dry. I'm going to come back and help him out.
So
and
you think Bob Chapek
found
not
out about it and was like furious, apparently, because he's like, I'm the CEO. I don't need Bob Iger hanging around. He retired. I don't need him back. And so there's criticism that Bob Chapek hasn't spoken out quickly enough against the Don't Say Gay bill. And all of these employees are walking out in protest over Bob Chapek. I think it's a manufactured story. I think it's a totally fake, bogus story. They can't even name their sources. They can't even highlight more than 7 employees who are walking out. It's not like tens of thousands of people are walking out of Disney. It's not
like
happening.
Disney's going to have to close its doors. Oh, no, we're going to have to
shut
down the park.
And it's like a few Twitter woke, you know, verified blue check Twitter accounts who are like, why isn't Disney speaking out against this? They're in Florida. Do we want Disney speaking out? Taking on politics? Do we want our corporations to take on woke politics?
Well, if you want that, then you don't want to participate in the sort of current version of capitalism we've got, where Disney is beholden to its shareholders, right?
Like you won't speak
out
against...
So Disney can't actually do that if their fiduciary is to the shareholders. So where do these kind of woke demands come from? It's either from employees internally, right? Externally, the customers or the shareholders, where the shareholders do not have an opinion about Florida politics. It seems as if most of the employees do not either. And so who is the third party that can be pressuring, that can be asking Disney for this? Well, most of them are from without, they're customers, right? But it doesn't even seem to be a majority. So when we give a voice to this woke politics, we're saying, well, the current way of business that you're beholden to your shareholders just doesn't work. So forget it.
Well, and
do what Twitter wants.
And I love the double standard here. So you're so upset about a legislative bill in Congress in Florida that has nothing to do with Disney. You want Disney to speak out against this bill. And yet, where is the Twitter woke mob speaking out against Disney when they thanked the Chinese government for their help with Mulan and totally ignoring where they were filming this movie, like in the religious areas, in the areas where religious Uyghurs, ethnic minority Uyghurs in that part of China are being killed, sterilized by the Chinese government? Ignore it. ignore it because Disney has to make a film about film Mulan, right?
Right.
And you can thank them in your credits. You can thank the Chinese government for their help in making sure that you film this movie. Where is the, like, I just love the hypocrisy of these woke Twitter, the Twitter mob. And I love the liberal media that jumps all over these stories, just kind of currying favor for Wall Street. That, to me, at the end of the day, is what Wall Street wants. They want Bob Chapek out of there. They want to make more money. They want to have someone like Bob Iger running the show again, who is in alignment with their politics and who will be the first to speak up about something like this.
And I think it's fun to talk about the ways in which Disney continues to try to be politically correct while also just being a privately held or a company, a publicly traded company, right? Making the best decisions. For instance, it mentions in this AP article that, well, you know, Disney's working really hard to like revamp Pirates of the Caribbean and to put signs on certain things in their rides that say this is a dated cultural reference when they have certain things like the head shrinkers in on the jungle tour and things like that. Like, I think people, you can parse. Sure. I mean, you could make a career out of that, just blogging like the conundrums of Disney representations, right? But that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious to know what Walt would think of all this, you know, like just if he would be playing ball or how he would be reacting to all of this stuff that's been happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Different time, right? I mean,
yeah, totally different time.
We didn't expect our companies to have, you know, I mean, to be hypocritical, incorporated these days, you know,
Nike well, when they can come out and
stand with Black Lives Matter, but they can't, but also can't speak out against like sweatshops. You know, people can't talk about that, right? The double standard for these companies is thick.
Yeah.
It's
very well, thick. When they bring him out of cryogenic freezing, we'll figure out like what's, he'll be like red from Shawshank Redemption.
Is he still frozen? I know that Ted Williams is, isn't it? They have him. Like,
I believe so. Freeze. Like that's what I had heard. He's is it cryogenic?
Yeah.
Cryogenic. Like
anyway. All right. Well, we've got what's trending to get to. Anything else you want to say on that?
No.
All right. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, and then we will get to what's trending and read your super chats here. You can start smart trading anytime, anywhere, and get up to 5 free stocks right now by going to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. Right now, as the bond market is taking a dump thanks to Jerome Powell and what he wants to do with interest rates over the next couple of months. People fleeing the bond market and running into other areas, tech companies, et cetera. Tesla doing well today with some big announcements. So if you want to start putting some money into some companies that you believe in that aren't going the woke route, for instance, you can do so by going to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. When you open your account, you'll get free stocks. And then they're giving up to $7,000 in free stocks. And even if you do nothing else with those stocks, just sell them. You know, they're in your account, sell them, and then transfer them back to your bank account. But if you do want to start learning, they've got great learning platform there as well, lessons and library and all sorts of news. Download their free app today on your PC, on your Mac, on your iPad, on your iPhone, your Android device, whatever device you're on. They've got great trading anytime, anywhere. Plus, you get those 5 free stocks and a bonus stock. Now through the end of March, they're giving away that additional bonus stock. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo is the place to go. Our thanks to them.
All right. Currently trending on the internet, a few things we'd like to call your attention to as a palate cleanser to today's news. So here we go. This video here is trending because this man fills his RV with gas due to gas price hikes, and watch the final toll.
Okay.
Let's see.
Which one is it?
Do you see it there?
This one. Oh, yeah. Hold on. I got to shrink this down.
All right.
Hold on. What is the deal here?
So we're going to watch him. His final gas bill, people are saying, is the amount of a mortgage.
Okay. Hold on. A to B, B, B. There we go. Okay. Oh, wrong one.
Pumping with some expensive gas.
So this is like just losing at a slot machine, you guys. But look at, he's got a big RV. So clearly it's going to take a lot of gas. And any guesses in the chat what his final bill will be?
I'm going to say like 400.
Holy crap.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he's already past 50. Or 500,
600
sorry.
Bucks. 600. Holy smokes.
Oh, keeps going. Here we go.
I didn't know gas pumps could go that high.
Holy yeah. Cow. I know. That's you would diesel. Think that maybe they would make him pay in advance, right, for this.
Wow.
That's his final bill to fill up that RV, $944.85.
How long will that last him? Like, will that last a month?
I don't know.
Probably not for a big RV like that.
Yeah, does anyone know? Does anyone drive like an RV?
Well, let's
see. That's a Prevost bus. So that's a...
Wait, go back. How many gallons does he get? Did you guys see?
It was 170. Yeah,
170 gallons. Yeah. So he's paying $5.55 per gallon.
So that's probably what, a 200 gallon tank, probably then.
It must be, yeah.
And those things probably get like 3 miles of the gallon.
Something. No,
they probably do better than that, I would think, if they're diesels.
I would say probably he gets
plus he's
no
towing
more
that
than
Jeep.
15.
Oh
yeah, he's towing a Jeep.
Too?
Yeah, he's towing a Jeep too.
That's a massive bus.
So you can see why this video has gone viral. People are freaking out and saying, that's more than my mortgage. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Ven says they get about 14 to 18 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. Yep. Okay, Avatar 2 is trending on news that a trailer for the sequel at long last.
Finally.
Will be shown. So we don't have the trailer. We have a date for the trailer. It will be with the upcoming Doctor Strange movie that comes out in May.
Oh, yes.
It's
I've been waiting
folks.
For this my whole life.
It's amazing. How old is Avatar now? It's Avatar.
Oh, man.
Year?
It's got to be
over 20 years old.
Yeah.
We just watched
I lived
it with
in
the
Jacksonville,
family.
Florida. When I went and saw it in the movie theater the opening weekend like 6 times. I love that movie so much.
2009.
Philip hates it,
but...
2009. Yeah, I was not a fan.
He's like, this is just Dances with Wolves.
You could say that.
Oh, Ferngully. It's Ferngully. It's the classic white man saves the natives story.
It is a bit white savior. You're right. I hear you on that.
Well, that's what Dances with Wolves is too.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah. Dan Quayle is trending because of this clip from Vice President Kamala Harris.
Right?
No, this is not of him. This clip, you watch it and I'll explain.
The governor and I, and we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
Okay, so Republicans are saying that she does not sound intelligent in this clip. Democrats are pointing out that former Vice President Dan Quayle had many unintelligent sounding moments in his day. So we're fighting over whose vice presidential picks can sound the least intelligent. I mean, that sounds like a
I mean, I have
word.
Way worse, by the way, I have way worse
yes,
clips than that.
Same.
From Kamala.
Wouldn't be hard for you to dig up many on us. So,
well, no, I'm saying on Kamala. I have way worse clips of Kamala.
Oh, I'm saying of myself.
Oh, of myself for sure. Yeah. But yeah, Dan Quayle had a lot of ridiculous things. Potato.
Yeah, but you weren't the vice president of the United States.
True. But I wouldn't say no to the job.
True.
And I would say lots of weird things like that, I'm sure.
But I mean, just think of how many people, just think how many politicians. I mean, we have Biden saying ridiculous things. We have President Trump saying ridiculous things.
Sure.
George W. Bush saying ridiculous things.
Sure. Yeah. I think she just got stuck in, what do you call the word whiskers? She was trying to make a point.
I have never heard her make a good point, even when she was running for president, other than the, you know, when she called out Biden that one time that got her on the map. Other than that, I've never heard her say anything of value.
Well, she was a pretty dog with a bone type prosecutor. She did a lot of. She didn't. I don't know how she was in court, but she has a pretty formidable track record. No matter what you think, as a prosecutor in California. But I don't know. I think that this is just she was trying to make a point about what you can accomplish with time, and it didn't land. So, okay. And Kylie Jenner is trending because she used to have a son named Wolf, but she said on social media that that little boy is no longer named Wolf because the name didn't fit him. He's 2 months old, so he gets a different name, which she hasn't told us yet. And maybe when he is 3 months old, he'll get a third name. I don't know. That's but the weird. Baby's not named Wolf.
She's changed it to Canine because Wolf was too wild.
Maybe it's Pack or
Lupus.
I don't know.
Lupus.
Can you like change names like that regularly as a kid? I mean,
yeah,
you name it. It's a pain then, right? You get it filed with the...
I don't think it's that easy to do. Your social security number comes pretty much right away because the United States government's like, ooh, the little kid plugged into the matrix. Let's tax his butt.
Yeah, but these are people that just go, hey, assistant, go get this baby's name changed. What do you got to do?
Yeah.
I don't think those kind of bureaucracy tasks you can outsource. That has to be like the parents there. That's not so easy. I don't think you... Although we did see Gwyneth Paltrow got like, during COVID, she got a private meeting at the DMV. So maybe, but yeah. For us mere mortals, those bureaucratic tasks are hard to do.
Yeah. We don't get to get out of jail for our appeals.
No. Even when I got married and changed my name on my social security card, that was a pain in the butt kind of task. You know, those kind of things are hard to do. I would imagine once you get a baby and you have the birth certificate and the social security, and then you have to go back around and I don't know, maybe his name was never officially Wolf. It was just Wolf on Twitter. Maybe it always was William. I don't know. That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, okay.
Do we have any super chats?
We do. Dolan's Bar super chat. Love from Delco PA's greatest dive bar.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Delco, have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. Delaware County.
Gotcha. There's not a dive bar Clayton hasn't frequented.
Oh, yeah. All dive bars in Delaware County.
You know what, though? I've always find that the dive bars usually have the best food. Just saying.
They do, and they have the best music and the best people. Yeah. There's no pretense. It's just come as you
want. I only
Cheers was
the
a dive
tables.
Bar.
You only care about the pool tables? Do they have good pool tables in dive bars? Most of the time.
Some, yes. Kind of. I mean, some. You just gotta find the right ones. Like, all the bars I go to now are all only ones that have good pool tables.
Yeah.
Hans Wolf, I remember when Bluetooth was new and people with scanning hardware were trying to hack into my Nokia communicator on various NYC elevators back then.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
James Gilliam, and I responded to James. James is having trouble accessing chat after becoming a member. So, James, my only advice would be to try and make sure you're logged into the right account. And then, if not, go up to your little icon that's in the top right. Your avatar on YouTube, click it, and then you're going to get a thing to manage subscriptions, and there's a place in there that you can contact YouTube and get help with them, and their support is actually really good, so go do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to join twice. We're so glad you're here, and hopefully you get that figured out.
Yeah. Barbara Waite, having seen Trudeau and Zelensky utilize emergency powers, what does the POTUS have available to him? Would we have to be in a declared war?
Well, that's interesting because I think that we have been speaking about how in the latest spending bill, in fact, POTUS was he gave himself carte blanche rights to sanction any world leader, any person on the planet that he wants. So we see that happening already without any emergency powers. But
well, and we haven't had a declared war since I don't remember like World War or Korea or World War II or whatever. So they can do whatever they want without. I mean, that like
no,
we talked about this last
war
week.
Was declared by Congress in 1990, or at least combat zone for paying military. The commensurate rate was
in
declared
Iraq?
In. Yes, was in August. I think it was August 1990. Was when Congress actually declared that a combat zone, not necessarily a war.
Right.
But it because it affected how we pay soldiers for their disabilities in combat zones.
But the executive powers have been expanding, you know, since 9/11. And so they pretty much don't have to do anything that involves Congress.
COVID,
as far as war.
Same. Yeah. All of that stuff. Yep.
Rick Flatch, if you get a chance, check out Future by Design by Jacques Fresco. It's about ways we can shift the priority of socioeconomic focus.
Okay.
Future by Design by
Future
Jacques Fresco.
By Design. Is it, it's a book, I assume.
That's what I'm assuming too, yeah.
Oh, but, or is it a, no, it's a show.
It's a documentary?
Oh.
Looks like a documentary.
Yeah. Okay. Will do.
Thank you, Rick. Carolina Vieira, if you pay attention, the currency of the countries that are neutral on Russia are growing in compared to the dollar. Brazil is neutral and peaceful, and its economic is growing again as a shooting star.
Okay. I will take your word for it. I don't know much about Brazilian economics. But that is interesting.
And then we got a super sticker from Lee Curtis. So thank you, Lee, for the sticker. And this sticker was a pair character stretching his arms forward, raising his thumb up.
Awesome. Okay. I should mention our daily newsletter. Please go and sign up because it's our way to communicate with you in case something happens here. But also, we give you a great newsletter delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning every day. Go to morninginvest.com. And you'll get a newsletter like around 6:30, 7 a.m., something like that. But again, we have a big announcement coming very, very soon about the channel and about some great new stuff we're working on here. So we want to be able to communicate with you. That's one way we will be able to do it. We'll be able to send you the new user information and URL and all of that good stuff for you. So be sure to sign up for free at morninginvest.com. And also make sure you're a subscriber to the channel. Just hit the little subscribe button down there, so we can make sure we get you the information you need when you need it.
I got my newsletter at 3:26 a.m.
Wow.
Oh, we were on it this morning.
We got another super chat really quick from Garrett. Shouldn't parents be having those discussions with their children? I feel like it would be I would be failing as a parent if my kid's school had to do it.
Oh yeah, talking about the Disney Florida bill.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that should be happening. But you'd be surprised how many parents rely on school to parent their children.
And also, do you want them to have? Do you want this conversation in kindergarten with your children? I mean, no bueno.
They need to be playing and just be kids.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Be kind to everybody, and we will be back here tomorrow. Peace.
Bye.
Remember to rewind your VHS tapes.
Be kind. Rewind.